And I want to welcome you now to session number 5. We call this the faith. Now, many would begin here because what we're going to do is we're going to explain the gospel. Notice I say the gospel because gospel means good news. And what's important for us to bring clarity to is not just some generic good news, but God's gospel good news. The good news that comes through Christ alone. And to do that, I want to begin by showing you 3 letters that will serve as an umbrella under which everything else will follow. I want you to think about using a small m, a capital M, and then another small m. Let me show you what I mean. When it comes to explaining the gospel, and again, there's a lifetime of study and growth that we can all embrace when it comes to understanding, embracing, and becoming the fruit of the gospel. But what I pray you'll embrace are these 3 pillars. Let me explain, and then we're going to illustrate it, and I'm going to offer you some verses to serve to help walk through the gospel. First, the small m, it stands for the miracle. The miracle of saving grace that every soul requires. None of us will ever be good enough. None of us can do enough. None of us have any way of becoming a Christian without the miraculous, gracious gift of Almighty God extended to us through the good news of Christ crucified, Christ risen, and Christ ascended. Jesus is the only way. We must acknowledge that we need a miracle, that we have no hope and no means of salvation without Him. And then in acknowledging our need of that miracle, it is to repent of our sins and to believe in our Savior. Herein we are saved by grace through faith. This is the work of the miracle of Jesus Christ and the gospel. Now, we know this in part because of the capital M, which stands for the Messiah, Christ Jesus. Again, it's John 14:6, where Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So the miracle which is needed can only be supplied by the Messiah, who is Jesus. Where and when that miracle through this Messiah is actually in place, then a life lived on mission will be the fruit that validates both the miracle and the Messiah. It's not the mission that makes the Messiah give the miracle. No, it's the mission that validates that the Messiah did give the mission. So just think about that. MMM. Here's the first way to understand and to explain the faith. Let me expand on this now by drawing for you what I call the stick man gospel. And what I'm about to show you is in principle the gospel of Jesus Christ. However, it's not the only way to explain the gospel. And you'll see I'm going to offer you some verses that you can add to, and if you'd like, either add to or replace with other scriptures that get to the same points. What I hope to do is not give you the single verse-by-verse way of understanding and explaining the gospel, but rather to give you a principled tool that you can both use as is and or customize. The important thing is that you hold true, again, to the Word of God, the will of God, and the way of God. So let me show you, and again, understand this is the umbrella that we're going to be working through. The M I represent with an X. The X is just a pictorial way to say, picture here death. We're done, we're out, we're dead in our sins, and what we need at this point is a miracle. Why? Because dead people don't do things. Dead people don't make themselves come alive. Dead people don't respond. Dead people don't do anything. And that's the point. From the death of self, let me take you to the next point, which is the Messiah. And here I want to depict him once again with his cross. So we have dead people who need a miracle. We have the Messiah depicted by Jesus the Christ, evidenced here by his cross. And if we're going to end up as those who are on mission, then per Jesus, this is us. We will be those, evidenced here by the stick man, who are willing, now that we've been brought to life, to pick up our cross and follow him. This is the mission. So we're dead in our sins in need of a miracle. The miracle can only come through Christ Jesus, our Messiah. And if and when that has happened, we'll live on mission, born again, cross carriers. It was Jesus who said that unless you are willing to pick up your cross daily and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Now, that's literally how easy it could be. But let me fill in with some additional components here. When this person is dead, we have some things that we need to understand. First of all, we're dead in part because of the spiritual battle. You see, we were born dead in need of being brought to life. We were born sinners in need of a Savior. And we also have been born into a spiritual war where the Bible says we have a roaring lion kind of enemy who is literally prowling around looking for souls to devour. So if you look here, you'll see in Romans 3:23 that we're told in the Bible that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're dead. In Romans 6:23, we're told that the wages of sin is death. In 1 Peter 5:8, we're told that we have an adversary, Satan, who is roaring around like a lion looking for souls to devour. You see, this is the reality of what we face. And at the same time, here's another one. We also have a barrier that we're dealing with that God tells us is literally in need of a spiritual solution, because he says that every one of us are not going to be willing to get past this barrier because the devil himself is blinding us. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that he is blinding the eyes of those who reject Christ. He tells us in his word in 1 Corinthians 2:14 that because of this barrier, we're going to think that everything is foolishness unless we've been given that which God has given us in terms of eyes to see. Now, when this happens, this is what happens next. The dead person will literally come to the cross. How? We already said it. It's a miracle, right? Well, it's John 6:44 that tells us, Jesus speaking, that no one comes to me unless the Father draws him. It's the miracle of grace. God has to draw you and capture your heart. Now, what do we do? Are we going to be hostages in this process? No, it's Mark 1:15 that says that each person that comes to the cross must repent and believe. So I want you to see the both and tension here. It's all of grace, it's a miracle, and you and I have a responsibility to do our part, which is to receive this miracle gift. And we receive and believe by repenting and putting our faith in Christ. Now, as you come to the cross, some know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. Others would point to Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Coming to the cross and coming through the cross is essential. There is no salvation until we come through the cross. When we do, as an example, the next thing that's going to happen is we're going to pick up our cross and we're going to follow. We're going to embrace the mission. And here I share with you two verses that again bring tension. The first is 1 John 2:6. This verse says that those who claim to be in Christ must walk as Jesus walked. So to say that you've come through but not walk like Jesus walked, that makes you a liar. At the same time, Romans 8:1 says, for everyone who has come to and through Christ, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So if you have a bad day and you just don't happen to be picking up and walking with your cross that day because you're in a stumble, it doesn't mean that you've lost your salvation or you're somehow disqualified. No, that means you've had a bad day and you're in the midst of a stumble. You need to repent and get back to that healthy place. That's the promise of 8:1. Romans 8:1. However, for those who sit around and never really have a heart for God or have never really been transformed by His grace, that's why He's given us 1 John 2:6 to say, listen, don't stand there and tell me all about how you've got this grace and that there's no condemnation because you've somehow gone through the cross, when in reality, the evidence here is that you've never come through the cross. Note again, in the same way, all of grace, human responsibility. All of grace, human responsibility. See the both and tension. This is the way of the cross. A couple other things before we finish. When you get here, what does it look like to be on mission? Well, Acts 1:8 is one. Acts 1:8 says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit, that's the miracle, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses locally, regionally, and globally. Well, how about Matthew 28:18 through 20? Here, it's Jesus giving us the command to go make disciples of all nations. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, you go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And don't miss this, teaching them to obey everything that I commanded. Like what, Jesus? Like picking up your cross and following Him. Now, some will say, well, I think that's a little bit much. So I would say to you here, well, let's take a look at Romans 12:1, where if you want to know what this life on mission looks like, here again, God's word says that our lives should be living sacrifices, that our demonstration of worship is to literally live a holy life of human living sacrifice. You just can't go beyond there. So the idea that somehow the Bible's asking for too much, it's just not so. Couldn't be. And again, you can add to this. I think of Titus 1:11. Part of picking up your cross is having at times confrontation. We're told that there are false teachers out there, and sometimes they're destroying entire households. And the child of God must confront them. The Bible says they're destroying entire households and they must be silenced. You see, this is not always going to be easy, but it is always a call to be holy. Now, two other things before we finish here, and these are pretty tough, but I want to point out that there are two additional warnings that have to be heard. And the first one is constituted this way. Those that would try to jump over the cross, and I would say to you here, look at Matthew 7:21 and following. Here at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about some who say they went from being dead to being born again, that say that they're in the church. And Jesus said, no, listen, you may have done a bunch of stuff. You may have looked like you were in the busy biblical crowd, but you never came to me and through me. You, in essence, jumped over the cross. And Jesus said, get away from me. Now that life is over, away from me, you evildoers. I never knew you. Notice, He doesn't say, I forgot about you. He doesn't say, I changed my mind about you. He doesn't say, no, you're lying. You were not a good person doing church stuff. He says, you may have been busy and you were in the crowd, but you were never biblically in the church. You didn't come through me. And this is why we have to ask people. I like to ask them this way. Tell me about your funeral. When did you die to self? When did you realize you were dead and only the miracle of grace brought you back to life? Watch out for those that would tell you that you can just jump in and get busy and you don't have to go through the surrendering of the cross. This, friends, constitutes a lot of people who are sincerely lost and confused. They, like the ones that Jesus talked about, are on a path to be shocked on Judgment Day. They're going to get there, and these people really think, all right, I'm going to heaven, this is going to be great. And they're going to hear Jesus say, get away from me, I never knew you, I never knew you. And they're going to say, but I did everything that the pastor said, I was a good church person. And Jesus is going to say, no, you did not adhere to the gospel. You listened to some other man-made good news that was never really good news. Beware going over the cross. All right, one more. And that is those who tunnel under the cross. And here, the warning is incredibly important. For you see, it's one thing to sincerely jump over the cross. Now, that person is lost, but they're sincerely hoping and thinking that they're doing the right thing. Here, with those that would tunnel under the cross, we see a reference again in Matthew 7, towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, beware those who seem to be sheep. They are ravenous wolves in sheep's clothing. Jesus said that. Paul says to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20:29, he says, I know, as soon as I depart, there are going to be ravenous wolves who come up from amongst you. Here again, they are going to look like they fit in with the church. They're going to look like they've picked up their cross. They're going to look the part, but their heart is going to be not only deceived, but deceiving of others. Note, here you have a sincere lost person who's trying to do good works to earn their way into heaven. Here you have the devil's minions who are intentionally tunneling under, looking to come up amongst the ranks for the express purpose of deceiving and destroying. Friends, this is the gospel in full context. Every human being needs the miracle of saving grace that can only come through the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, and where and when validated, it will lead to a life on mission. Here's the picture, and again, I say to you, find the verses that tell this story that you find to be most riveting and personal. Until you do, use mine. I want to encourage you to learn this way of presenting the gospel. It's not just, hey, who wants to go to heaven? I do. And it's not, hey, listen, you're all going to burn in hell, so there's no hope. No, this is the full context that explains reality for every beginning. It explains the reality of the dynamics that have to happen between God and the person and the person and God. And it also comes to bring clarity to how you can validate whether or not something is authentic and real, or whether or not something is man-made and really repulsive. So, understanding this flow of the gospel, I call it the stick man gospel, but you can do this with a stick in the sand on the beach. You can do this on a cocktail napkin. The important thing is that you learn it and then have in place, again, a fundamental, essential way of explaining one of the truths that define us as Christians, the truth that defines us as the church of Christ.